faithful church. Amen. Mexico sends their greetings to you. I'll share a few things, but I'll just say we had a good trip, a successful trip, and accomplished what we set out to accomplish. And we thank the Lord for that. Got a lot of things done, ministered, and had some good services, was able to minister and plow a little ground at the same time. And God is good to us, so we'll be sharing. I'll give a few comments on Sunday afternoon, and Brother Al, since it was his first time and he came back alive, he's going to share some things with you on Sunday afternoon, and we praise the Lord. We'll let him share a testimony and some words on Sunday afternoon, and we'll give a brief report on that. But I want to go to the Word of the Lord tonight. The Lord's been stirring my heart on this subject again on ministering to the Lord. Let's read all of verse 2 of Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." As they ministered to the Lord. Would you say amen to that tonight? You may be seated. As they ministered to the Lord. I've shared at least about three messages on ministering to the Lord. And I do want to go back tonight and just to give and maybe put in some points that I have not done before. I think back over the message, and there are things that sometimes I did not bring out. I would like to bring out, and I like to stress it. I like to re-stress it. I don't think that should be overbearing to you if I do remind us of a few things that I preached. It's been over a week since I've talked to you about it, and I say that because even in my own life, and I've preached a sermon in my own spirit sometimes various times and over and preaching it, but sitting today and meditating and thinking on it helps me to rethink it and to apply it into my life and into my heart. So if I know that reminding of it makes a difference in me, it's got to help you as well. We quickly forget. Too often we forget. There's too much in this world to distract us and to sideline us, and we often forget the things that are most important, and we have to keep our mind and focus on them. So I've given three points of what it is to minister unto the Lord. I'm going to put them in a one word thing for you tonight, and then I'm going to deal with the fourth one here this evening and may go a little bit beyond that, but let's see where we are once we get there. This business of ministering to the Lord. I want to first of all say that this is not a repetitive phrase in the New Testament. It is a phrase that occurs several times in the Old Testament, and I shared that with you. But I want you to know that tonight this phrase, ministering to the Lord, is not a new idea. It's not something that is distinct from the time of devotion and prayer that you and I are to have with God. It sometimes may be more intense than others. There are times we just take and set aside, as it was in Acts chapter 13, to just minister unto the Lord, and maybe more than the normal daily time that we're able to spend that personal time of just ministering to the Lord and doing so with a focus and an intent. We're not distracted. We're not busy. We don't have the phone going. We don't have people running in and out. This is a setting where it's just us and God. Now, it may be more than one saint, but it's the saints and God together and nothing else. There's no outsiders. There's no sinners in this crowd. This is not a time of evangelism. It's not a time to preach. Too often times we take our prayer time and we preach to God instead of pray to God. God doesn't need to be preached to. He doesn't need to be told what to do. He just needs you to get on board with His agenda and His business and what He is doing. And so this idea of ministering to the Lord is really, I believe, simply another way of stating what our prayer ought to be, that time of communion that you and I have with God. It's not something that's distinct from prayer. It's not something that's new and exciting or different, so that today I pray and have devotions and tomorrow I minister to the Lord. No, ministering to the Lord ought to be something you do every time you kneel before Him, you focus on Him. You ought to be ministering to the Lord so that I intend and my desire in preaching these messages under the leading of the Spirit is that this would transform your prayer life. It would give you a new aspect or perspective, if you will, on your prayer, because sometimes our prayer time can become monotonous and routine. It can become get in a rut, and we need to break it up, or sometimes we just have to think anew and focus the mind brand new, and to give you a sense of a new perspective that, well, I'm here praying. When you get down on your knees, I'm here to minister to the Lord. I'm here to pray, but prayer is just that. Prayer is ministering to the Lord. I gave you the perspective. I'm going to put this in four P's tonight for you to remember. I've already discussed these first three points, but I just want to remind you. The first is this business of a perspective. And that is that our perspective, when we minister to the Lord, there is a particular mindset that as we go to God, and it was that perspective of the priest. And there is this business that when you come to minister to God, you need to understand you are there to take God's side. You are there to do it God's way. Yes, you can be saved from your sins, but only in a prescribed manner. Yes, you can receive pardon. Yes, you've got access to the throne of God, but it's not come as you may. It's not come as you want. It's come as He has designed, in the manner that God has designed, in the way that God had put it down. You can't get to the Father except by Jesus Christ the Son. There is no access. There is no approach. It is by one Spirit that we have access under the heavenly throne. If the Holy Ghost is not abiding in your vessel, you can't get to God. That's just that way. You have no ability to comprehend a God who is Spirit unless the Holy Spirit is illuminating and touching your heart and your life. The natural man cannot receive the things of God, but the spiritual man, he knows and discerns all things and can see and hear and know the things that are of God. And there is this perspective. You need to know that when you get on your knees, I'm here taking God's side. I'm not here to twist God's arm. I'm not here to get my will done. I'm not here to get God on my side. I'm here to be on God's side. I'm here to do it God's way. I'm here to go God's plan. I'm here to pray God's manner. I'm here to do it like Jesus did it. I'm here to honor God. I'm here to declare that God is just. I'm not coming with an attitude that God is down on me. I'm not coming with an attitude that God has failed me. I'm not coming with an attitude that God didn't get it right or God doesn't know what He's doing. I'm coming with a full consciousness that God is alive and He's just and He's holy and He's right, and every decision He makes is right. Every act that He does is just. Every way that He has is holy. He cannot lie. He cannot change. He cannot do wickedness. He is great and above everything, and I am here to justify God and to take His side.
Yes, amen.
The third thing is the priority. When you pray, you need to recognize you're not just fulfilling a religious duty. You're not just getting your time in. You're not just doing this thing. It was in our trip to Mexico this time. We was commenting with a sister and she was sharing with us. This was the attitude when she was in Catholicism. We were asking her a little bit what it was like before her conversion. And in her youth, did she confess to the priest? Did she do this and that? She said, yes. Went and you confessed to the priest. And then he would tell you to do so many prayers to God and say this line so many times. So many prayers to Mary, or so many things, and you said those things, and then you were okay. She said it was always the sense that you went to church, or you went to Mass, rather, and when you went to Mass and you did your duty, then you were okay. You could go out and do what you want to do. Once you went and did your little responsibility, you went in, you were reverent, you did your Hail Marys, you did whatever it was that you're going to do, and your little prayers unto God, and you confessed your sin to the priest, then you went out and lived like you always lived in your sin and your wickedness and your selfish life. You get drunk and go back and do it again. And I'm telling you, we can take no comfort in the sins that we have simply done a religious duty. I'm telling you, if you get up from your prayer life and your prayer time and your comfort is just that you have spent time there and there's been no connection to God, there's been no real presence of God in your life, there's been no real honor, and God is my priority and there's none about him. I'm here today, God, because you're number one in my life. I can't live without you. I can't even walk without you holding my hand, and I need your life and your touch in my soul today. You got to get it down in your prayer life. You're there. You're there because God is the number one need in your life. He is the number one business. He's the number one priority. And you can't live a day. You don't want to draw a breath without him. You don't want to lift a hand without him. You don't want to lift your eyes and wake up in the morning without him. You don't want to go to bed without him. You don't want to go to work without him. You don't want to cook your breakfast without him. You don't want your morning coffee without him. You don't want to open your Bible without him. You don't want to face your work without God Almighty. You got to get a priority. The prayer time is number one. And if you neglect it, you're putting God on the back burner and you're soon going to die. Number three is praise. I talked about that. You got to get it right. You got to get this right. You can't come to God with complaints. You can't come to God by putting him down. You got to get it and talk to him and honor him. And go to him. It's not the sense of massaging his ego. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I've watched it. I've watched it happen many times. There's times I've had folks comment to me and make a comment, a praise of something maybe that I did. I try to just take it and give glory to God and move on. I don't focus on it. I don't stay there. I'm not interested in it. After a while, I hear someone talk a little bit too much about me. I'm ready for them to shut up and go on because, look, it's enough about me. It ain't about that. And I listen, there comes a time to honor men. I've watched. Sometimes you get up and you want to honor someone on some kind of appreciation time or some award because some notable achievement has been done. That all's okay. It has its place, but it also has its limits. It also has its sense that you can go too far with it. You can go too overboard with them. You should get up and you should honor a man, the woman for what they've done. That's okay. But ultimately give honor to God. And I've been there and I've watched. You get sometimes several things that keep going on. You keep talking about a man and you keep elevating him. After a while it gets boring. After a while it gets dull. After a while it's like, I wish somebody just shut up and sit down, because there ain't no man worth all these accolades. But I've watched also the praise of God. You can have 150 saints. You can have 1,500 saints that can get up and testify. They can praise his name. They can, every one of them, praise his name. You can do it hour after hour. And it never seems to be too much. It never seems to be overkill. It never seems that it goes beyond the limits. You can't overpraise God. You can't overdo it in giving him the accolades and the glory and the hope, hallelujah, that God is great and he deserves the great and mighty praise from the voice of his children. Amen. And we are people, especially in this nation, blessed beyond measure. We're blessed till we're spoiled rotten. And don't even see it. And don't even know how good we've got it. Christians across this world are living in terrible circumstances, dying for their faith, and yet complaint never leaves their lips. Churches are growing and they're glorifying God. I understand the church has grown more in China in the last several years, even under persecution. Oh yeah, the blood of the martyrs has always been that seed and life bed of the church. There's no doubt about it. But I can tell you something, that you just can't overdo it when it comes to praising God. And you might find out if you just take time to count your blessings. That's the thing about it. When you really start to count your blessings, it makes your mind begin to dive into your own life and examine how good God's been to you. And it ain't before. I tell you, if you're down, If your spirit's not feeling good and you just start to count how good you got it, I'm telling you, it won't be long before your spirit has elevated and you'll be on a sense where God's presence will just flow over you. But we don't praise Him so we can feel good. We don't praise Him to bring His presence. We don't praise Him so He can come down and we can just massage some ego. God has no ego. We praise Him because He's worthy. We praise Him because we feel good and don't feel good. We praise God because God is above us and He's worthy of every effort. We've got a Christianity today that wants to put no effort. We got a Christianity of convenience. And if we're inconvenienced any way out, we don't even want to give God the glory. I'm telling you, if you're on your deathbed, the last breath you draw ought to give praise to God. When you get in the morning, even though your breath may not smell good, it ought to praise God and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Shame, the talk, the discouragement, the negativism that comes off the lips of God's people sometimes towards God, when our lips ought to be filled with joy and praise at His goodness. The third thing or fourth thing I want to mention is the petition, so that it makes four P's, all right? There's the perspective. We're priests. There is the priority. God is number one. There is the praise that is involved in this ministering to the Lord. And we're here with gratitude. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. I mean, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Let everyone make a joyful sound unto God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And we just rain the praises and accolades and blessings upon our God, because we are a grateful people. We are a thankful people. We are a people that are broken and humiliated in the sense that, and humbled by the wonderful presence of God. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? And what is man that thou visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels, yet you've crowned him with glory and with honor. God has taken us in our state, our lowest state, and He has set us and enthroned us with His Son at the right hand in heavenly places. We sit with Jesus Christ, and yet we grumble and complain when we sit in the place of of all power and all might and strength. We are with Jesus, and we will rule and reign with Him forever. But let it be known that that time of ministering to the Lord does involve petition. It certainly does involve bringing needs and presenting desires unto God. We understand from the scripture that man God doesn't accept every petition. Just because you pray it doesn't mean God's going to answer it. If we ask according to His will, we know He hears us. That's what the Bible says. If my words abide in you, you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's more, I've preached on it, than the pronunciation of the name. A sinner can offer a prayer in the name of Jesus, and it ain't worth the breath it takes to say it. Amen. No, sir. If it isn't a prayer from their lips of repentance and crying out to God for help and mercy for their wickedness. So you need to understand, praying in the name of Jesus is not just tacking it on because it's some kind of a mantra or legal thing that I got to tack on the end that makes it okay. You can pray it in Jesus' name. You can pray it in Jesus Christ of Nazareth's name. But if that prayer is not in agreement with the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, and God's not interested in it, the Father's going to glorify the Son, and the Son's going to glorify the Father. And any prayer that's prayed that doesn't aim at the ultimate glory of God, it isn't worth bringing to the throne room. It ain't worth the time it takes you to say it. You've wasted your breath. We're not here to get our will done on earth, but we're here to get God's will done.
Yes, sir.
Inevitably, we tried it. I've come to God and I've just praised Him, and I'm just here to thank Him. I'll do that for some time. I will thank Him and I'll praise Him. But inevitably,
My infinite need rises up before me, and I find myself crying out for his help. I find myself crying out and saying, God, help me here. God, do a work over here. God, here is a need. Even in my praise, as I think of his goodness and greatness, and I think of his work, there is yet and ultimately a need that will come to my mind. I cannot escape it. I am before the Almighty, and I am still a needy creature, and I can praise him for eternity, but I live in a world that is full of sin and iniquity. I've got an enemy that's hot on my trail every day. I've got selfishness that surrounds me. I've got a body that is weak. I'm telling you, and I've got to have God and his presence when I leave the prayer closet. I got to know he's with me. There are things out there beyond my control. There's people that I cannot change. I cannot help you, but I know a God that's able to do it. Now I want to focus on something here for a moment. I just want to focus on this, whatever can come from it. I remember as a young man, I got saved, and my time in prayer wasn't a lot. I remember that you get down and you prayed 15 minutes, seemed like you prayed a lifetime. Had those prayer meetings. Pray for an hour. They'd set the time. We're going to pray for an hour. Felt like 10 years had went by. And you repeated yourself so many times that if you'd have taken your prayer and written it down, it wouldn't have made a good paragraph on a piece of paper. And you know, that's about all what it would have got done. But I didn't know much. I didn't understand much. Now, I mean, I hear people though sometimes that's been in this thing for a long time and say, I can't hardly 15 minutes and I run out of things to say. That's a sad commentary. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you that's a sad commentary. I want to try to help you tonight. Not because that I want you to spend simply so you can log more hours in prayer. I'm just telling you if 15 minutes exhausts you, you're very, very shallow in God. I'm just here to tell you if you can't pray 30 minutes, your experience and your knowledge of God is very elementary and it's very shallow. And I want you to get beyond that. I want you to rise up above that. I'm telling you now, I've come to a place in my life I can pray an hour and I get up because my duties call me. I get up because there's things that I have to take care of, but I feel like I have not even scratched the surface. I get up and as I leave, I'm still praying and I'm asking God to help us and there's needs. I realize I don't have enough time to call out the needs that are there to God and to talk to God about everything. So all the day long, I find myself talking to God again and again about it. I'm here to tell you something. Our life ought to be such that we are enraptured with the Lord God and captivated by him. I'm telling you, when you can get on the phone and you can spend an hour talking to somebody and you think, my, where did the time even go? And your conversation didn't melt to a hill of beans. We've wasted our breath on so much worthless knowledge and talk when the Almighty God would love to converse with you and you don't know enough about him to talk intelligently to him for 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's a sad commentary on our life. Well, Brother Woods, how do you get there? Well, let me just try to help you a little bit with it. Some simple things. We're ignorant of God. We've got a sense of prayer, if it's just short, that all we do is we're just coming, say a few hallelujahs and a few praises to the Lord, and just read off our little list. God bless so-and-so, and God bless so-and-so, and God help so-and-so, and God touch so-and-so, and God heal so-and-so, and God give us a good service. And after that, we're pretty much exhausted. And that's about all we can think of, because our thinking doesn't go any deeper than that. And there's no sense about us that, hey,
that God is not way over there and we're here. It's not that we're just doing things for Him. It's not like coming into the boss's office every morning and getting your workload and going out and having a few 5 minutes and chatting with Him about the weather. And that's sometimes what it is. With God, we just come. And that old Catholic idea of coming in, confess your sins, you do a few prayers to Mary and God, and that's about sometimes what we're doing. But we've got to understand something. God is everywhere, and God's involved in everything you do. That's a problem. We've disconnected our lives from God, and the only connection we have is that time in the prayer closet. And when we leave there, everything else is up to us. Everything else is on us. But if you come to the place you want to pray long, and I'd like to ask you, what are you doing today? What's on your agenda today? Why don't you take your agenda and lay it out before God and say, God, I got a meeting at 8 o'clock. I need the Holy Ghost to give me wisdom. I need the power of God to show up and help me to do the things I need to do. Lord, I got to work on this car. Lord, I got to work on the house. I got to drive over here. Well, you know, Lord, I want to witness for you, and I want to do something for you today. You've disconnected your day from God. We don't think about involving God in every bit of our day. We don't think about praying over our daily activities. We don't think about talking to God about every duty that we've got before us today. Yes. Well, Brother Woods, I don't do much. They're just simple things. They're just routine things. Yes, and you're doing those routine things without God. Yeah. Or God's good and gracious and He's helping you and you're not acknowledging Him. Amen. Because you think it's insignificant and it's small, and it's not. And that's why we're ineffective. Paul said, I want them to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Right. Yes, we're doing good works, but we're not bearing fruit. Right. We're doing good works, but we're not having an effect on someone's life like we ought to. Why? Because we've disconnected God. It's just the rut. It's just the routine. Well, why don't you put God in your routine? Why don't you take that 15 minutes in the morning and lay your agenda out before God and say, God, if there's anything there you want to rearrange, this is the way it goes. You know my life. You know where you put me to do. I got to go help so and so. I got to go do this. I got to go watch the grandkid. Lord, let me be a light to them today. Let me be able, Lord, to help somebody. I got to go grocery shopping at Walmart. Lord, would you let me run into somebody that I can talk to them about you? Glory to the Lamb of God. Talk about not having nothing to pray about. We have divorced God from our daily activities, and we need to get back on board and say, God, get in my life and help me to acknowledge you.
Yeah.
You're going to class, you're going to work. I don't care what it is. Don't do it without God.
Right.
Don't think you can handle it by yourself.
Right, brother.
Lord, I got to write. I got to study. Open my mind up.
Yeah.
Now that right there will consume at least 20 or 30 minutes. Because you know what will happen? You get the next day, and you get before God. And the day before, you'd prayed for God to help you when you was in Walmart, and He did. And you ran into somebody, and you got to testify. Your light shone, your glory shone. You made a difference and an impact in somebody's life. And then you get down before Him today and you start out with your praise. Lord, I want to thank you. Woo! My, you blessed me yesterday. Lord, you answered my prayer. Oh, and you just wonderful things. And then you know what you do? You start taking more unto the Lord God, because you realize God will help you when you talk to Him, when you bring it right and you want to do His will. Lord, my day is your day. My hours are your hours. My life is your life. Lead it today the way you want it led.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's happening in your family? You can't get beyond 15 minutes of prayer. You got children that are lost. You ought to be doing more than bringing their name to God. You ought to be asking God how you can influence them. You ought to be asking God for wisdom, how you can be a light to them. You ought to be asking God to bring conviction upon them until they're at the end of the rope, and help you not to bail them out when they get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, give me the grace and give me the character. that when you put them in a place where they're in a tight box, that I am not afraid to leave them to your care. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. And that I won't bail them out of their trouble. That I won't bail them out of their problems and their heartaches. Except that I will go to them and tell them, if you turn your life to God, and if you give your heart to God, that's why you're at where you're at. That's why you're in this dilemma, because you don't know Jesus. And I'm telling you, son or daughter, that you don't need to turn to Him just to escape this dilemma. You need to give your life ultimately to Him. Son and daughter, if I rescue you from your problem right now, I'm not going to help you. I'm telling you, you may be starving to death, but you're starving to death because you're in rebellion against God. And if I help you, then you are not. You're not going to get where you need to be. No, I'm telling you, cry out to God. I'm not telling you to take away your mercy and compassion. I'm telling you right now that we turn around today and we're bailing out our kids left and right, and they get in their messes. They get in their financial messes, and we bail them out, and we say, oh, okay, I'll help you this time. And you know what? They know next time they get in a financial mess, they don't turn to God. And turn to mom and pop, and you're becoming their savior. But you got a problem. You can't save them. You ain't God, and you ain't got enough. Your blood can't cover their sins, and you can't be their savior. You got to turn them over to the hand of God and say, God, bring them where they need to be.
Yes. Right?
Shake them up.
Yes.
Ah, by the way, I don't believe that in the Bible. Really? You ever read the parable of the prodigal son? The father never left the house and went after him. He never drug him out of the hog pen. He never gave him a dime when he was hungry. He let him come to the end of his well self until he woke up. And when he did, he knew there was a place to go to. When your son and daughter wakes up, they'll know they can find compassion in you when they come back with a repentant heart. But if their heart isn't repentant, then you are taking away the conviction of God upon their lives. If their heart's repentant, bend over backwards. Run to meet them. If they're coming back with a heart that's repentant, don't you hold any rancor or bitterness. If they're coming back ready to give their soul, they've reached the end of the rope and they know it's better to be a servant in the house of God than I would be out here in this world. The servants fare better than you do out here. If they wake up and come to their sentence, their senses, you open your arms wide and you say, I'm here to receive you and to love you and to give you. But I'm here to tell you, God cannot save you until you're willing to give up your sin, until you're willing to give up your rebellion. If all you want's a patch, He said, I'll not put a new patch on an old garment. I'll not put new wine in old wineskins. Give me a new wineskin and give me new wine. Give me a whole new garment and a whole new life. God's not in the patch up business. He's in the renovation business. Glory to God.
Go ahead. Right.
And He can't save you until you're willing to quit your sin.
That's it.
Amen.
And if you ain't willing to quit sinning, and I bail you out, I ain't helping you. I'm getting weary.
Yes.
This nation talks about. Don't you think me harsh tonight. You take time and pray about it. I'm not. God knows what I do and give out of my resources to help. The childless and the orphans have no providers. You ought to be bending over backwards.
Yeah.
We'll pour our funds into a sinking ship. It ain't going nowhere. It's going down.
Right.
Instead of helping something that's going to be of value. The widows are struggling, got no providers. Trying to do right. Orphan and doesn't know him better. Got no one to provide for him. Put your resources there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you not to reach out and help. You can help and do things, but I'm telling you, you better know that what you're doing is going to produce some kind of fruit, and it's going to be something that makes sense and is valuable. And I'm weary of a nation. We've got this idea across the land that, you know, that in America, and we're feeling so down because there's so many hungry children and there's so many homeless on the streets. Well, I might make you a little bit mad what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you the bulk of that. There's some that's really hungry. There's some that need your help. But there's a lot of them out there. They're because they're lazy and they don't want to work. They're there because they're addicted and they're on the bottle and they're on their drugs. I'm telling you, there's many of them that could find a way to earn enough. You offer them a place to work. You offer them to mow your grass in order to give them $10 for their lunch, and they'll turn you down because it's easier to stand on the corner and hold a sign
and it is to get up and be a man and put on your big boy pants and go do your responsibility and do what's right, because it's humbling to go into a restaurant and say, can I wash your dishes? Sir, can I rake your leaves? But there's an honor to that. I'd like to work a little bit for what I get. I'd like to not have it handed to me by a government agent. I'd like to know that I put something into it. There's a nobility to that.
Yes, right.
And we've stripped away the honor and the dignity of our people because we've held them and given them a full platter, and they've done nothing in all to earn it.
Amen.
I'm not telling you every case is that way. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not careful, we'll just support that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And there's a many homeless man that if he can get a free meal three times a day, he don't mind sleeping on the street.
Amen.
Paul had a solution for it. If he ain't willing to work, let him starve.
Right.
I'm not talking about someone who can't. I'm not talking about somebody who's wrapped up in a wheelchair. And I'm not talking to, we got a lot of folks sometimes too. I know I'm talking plain, but I'm talking sense, and you know it. Oh, we got some folks, yeah, but you know, he's down in the back. Well, there's plenty of jobs you can get today. You can sit in a chair and do some work. It don't take too much. I mean, look, folks, do you know that we live for centuries? I mean, decades in this nation and never had a government paycheck, and people got by. Can you amaze it? I'm talking about that there are people in this nation. We talk about it, but years ago, I know what it was. I remember my dad made folks mad. I remember him doing as a young boy. He got up and declared in the pulpit one day, he said, I've never drawn an unemployment check. He wasn't trying so much to criticize folks. He just telling you, when I got done with one job and I lost it, I went down the street and found me another one. I took on the job and said, look, I'll learn it. I'll know how to do it somehow. I maybe can't, but I'll learn it. There was a sense, I got to work. I got to earn my way. But we've lost that today, and we're crippling our people, and we're crippling our children, and we're putting them down and trying to give them something, and we think we're helping them, and we're crutches under them that are ultimately going to destroy them in the end.
Yes.
And then there's good people in this nation that go to work every day and their bodies hurt, they're tired, but they will not take a welfare check. We think we're helping that man. I am not incompassionate when I drive by that man standing at the corner holding a sign. It's been holding that sign there for several months. His house burnt down. His house burnt down years ago, and he's still holding the same sign.
Amen.
I don't know what he's doing and where he goes, but I'm telling you, I know it's a fact. You offer those folks a job and they don't want it because they're making good standing there. And they can make a good living by not even have to lift or strike. My dad would say, strike a lick at a snake, and they can't even do anything. I'm not saying that to be incompassionate. I'm telling you that somewhere we've got to have a sense with us that says, Lord, here it is. I want you to bring this where it needs to be. Give me the wisdom to discern when I can reach out and I can help, and when, Lord, that I need to withhold it and wait till your judgment comes and brings them where we are. Give me the sense, Lord, if it's someone that doesn't know and they're lost and they're ignorant and wayward, then I want to be like a shepherd and go find the lanny or the lost sheep. But if I've got a son who's been in the house, he knows the way, he knows better. He had it good and he left it. Leave him until he falls. And then when he repents, open your arms up wide and let him come home. But the father will not go and seek him.
That's right. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
What's going on in your family? You ain't got nothing to pray about? That was all off of your children that are lost. Man, I got challenges in my family like I ain't never had. You got sons and daughters that are saved? Pray for them.
Right.
Bring their names to God. What needs to be done in them? Do you have enough spiritual sense to see where they're lacking? Do you have enough spiritual sense to see
their character and what needs to be done in a character, that you can pray enough for God to engineer their trials until He can produce in them Jesus Christ in His nature. Glory to the Lamb of God. And I'm talking about having something to pray about. I've never left that. That's where I'm getting at. We don't have nothing to pray because we have taken God out of every aspect of our life. God has become nothing to someone we talk to and say a blessing over our meal, and just somebody we get down and go through our ritual routine. And we struggle to fix our families. We struggle to go along and hope everything goes all right, and we haven't talked to God about any of it. I'm telling you, put it before the Lord. You don't know why you don't see the hand of God. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. God is ministered to when you'll find somebody that'll get on board with His agenda and seek His will and seek His way in every facet of their life. What's happening in your church?
Oh no, I go every Sunday, I go every Wednesday. Brother Woods gets up and rants and raves. And I'll teach a Sunday school. And man, I enjoy the meal. Get happier over lunch than we do over shouting and hearing the word of God. And,
right, brother, come on.
You know, and, well, I did this, but you don't have a clue. You know who's going to the nursing home? You know nursing home service this week? You know Sunday morning radio programs going on? You know this month 200 some CDs were sent out? Hello? You know somebody had to study and pray to bring you a message? You know some Sunday school teacher spent time to prepare to teach children, your children, and the preacher spent time in prayer to bring you a message from God that has a heart for you? Are we so absorbed in our own selfish small world that we don't have a clue what's going on? Have you been in tune with what God's been speaking? Have you been listening to the Holy Ghost? Have you been listening to the direction of the messages? Or have you missed so many of them they're all disconnected? Come on, I'm talking sense to you tonight. I'm here to tell you right now, you got nothing to pray about because you're not involved. You're not connected to what's going on. But if you get connected to the work of God and say, God, there's a work going on. Some are going to the street. Some are going to the nursing home. CDs are going out, and we need you to grip the hearts of men and women.
Amen.
Our men are meeting this Saturday, Lord. A fish fry is going on Friday night. God, men will come when you open up their eyes and when you stir up some godly men in this nation. Come on, church.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we doing? We're disconnected from what God is doing.
Right.
We can't pray 15 minutes because our life is divorced from God. And I'm going to repeat it until you get it in your mind and your heart, and you either get glad or mad, one or the other, because something's got to change. Something's got to give in our life somewhere. Call a prayer meeting. And you struggle to get there. You think it's not important. Call a time to seek the Lord. Oh, I just can't do an hour in prayer. Then your life with God is shallow. You ought to lay it before God. Just sit there and examine. Look around and take time while you're on your knees and observe your world. Observe your family. Observe your home. Observe your finances. Observe whether or not how your giving is and everything that you do. Look at your church and the many things that are going on, the projects that are taking place. And I could go on and on about it. Oh, can you say, oh, Brother Woods is preaching a series on this right now. I got to get this in me. Would you put this down? Lord, Sunday's message was about this. Would you help me to get that done? Lord, that preacher, crazy preacher, he preached all over me Wednesday night and told me I don't know nothing about prayer. Well, Lord, I want to see a change in my life. Come on, church, I'm getting real with you tonight. Let's put it down where it's at and let's let God know we care and we want to be involved in this work.
Amen.
What's happening in your world? What's happening in your nation? It's enough to stir the anger and the righteous indignation. Jerry Falwell Jr. endorses Donald Trump for president. Robert Jeffress, supposed to be a conservative Baptist pastor, see, or Fox News commentator, or not commentator, but, you know, counsel, advisor, whatever it is. And he invited to pray at Donald Trump's inauguration. He said, well,
He believed that Donald Trump would be a better president than Hillary Clinton. Man, I don't want to live a notch above the devil. I want to kill him. I don't want a better devil. I don't want the devil at all. Pragmatism. He's the only one I think that can beat Hillary. How absurd is that? You got professing Christians in the Republican lineup, and you won't support them, and you'll endorse a man that owns casinos. In 1990, his image was on the cover of Playboy magazine. He is a whoremonger. I said it, he's a whoremonger. He's in his third marriage and has boasted about affairs with married women. And he doesn't have anything to repent about.
Come on.
Come on now. And we can endorse that mess. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody's getting their pockets padded, somebody. Somebody's getting some gifts, somebody. Somebody's got a bribe and they can be bought somewhere. Oh, I'm telling you, they ought to be run out of the pulpits. They ought to be run out of the presidential states and say, we ain't going to put up with it. I don't care if we ain't got any candidates. But we will not endorse the devil. We would not endorse one who owns strip joints and casinos and has been for partial birth abortion. We are not going to endorse them. They don't have an inkling about God in the Word. What's wrong with us? We've lost our minds. We've got no grit. We've got no conviction. We've got no backbone. We've got no guidance. You ain't got nothing to pray about. And you watched the evening news and you ain't got nothing to pray about. Now it's burning in my heart, and I mean to shake you up. Yeah. I'm going to push this church by the help and grace of God. And I'm going to burn your hide if you don't get involved in it. If we don't pray for this election, with every ounce of prayer and heart we've got, then we deserve Hillary Clinton and all of her hordes.
Go ahead.
Come on now.
Go ahead.
And I'm telling you, if you don't pray and dig in with this church to pray, and Hillary wins the election, I don't want to hear you bellyache when things go bad. No, sir. I don't want to hear you grumble and complain about how bad things are. And you wouldn't take 10, 15, 20. No, let me give it more than that. You wouldn't take some hours out of your schedule to get on your knees and say, God, we got a man. We got some men that are, Lord, at least professing Christians. They got a testimony they can tell you about it. They're making claims. They're willing. I listened to Ted Cruz. I know I'm being plain. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you four things. And he said, first thing I do, I'm going to get in that office. I'm going to rescind every order that Obama has made. It's unconstitutional and outside of his authority. Man, if he can't get Congress, that alone will be worth putting him in the Oval Office just to get rid of every executive order of a godless president.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Yes.
So I'm going to tell the Justice Department and authorize them to launch an investigation in Planned Parenthood.
Oh.
And every place they've broken the law and everyone that's went against, they're going to be jailed. They're going to shut them down.
Amen.
He can do that.
Woo.
I got someone like that that's got a testimony.
Yeah.
And then I'll go support a whoremonger over something like that.
Oh,
you ain't, I don't know you're saved. I don't think you're saved. I'm telling you. You're either not saved or you're so ignorant and so shallow in Christ that man, you ain't even got your head on straight to know which way is up and which way is down. When you resort to pragmatism. Well, brother Woods, it's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work. I got a God that opens up Red Seas. I got a God that shuts lion's mouth. I serve a God that can make the sun stand still. I serve a God that can take 300 and put thousands to flight. Don't tell me about pragmatism. I say nothing is impossible unto them that believe. Glory to God. Have you got enough faith to believe with Brother Woods that this church can go to prayer and ask God to do something in our nation in 2016? And if judgment comes, let it come in spite of our prayers. Not because we didn't pray. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Go ahead.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Come on now.
I'm talking about ministering to God.
Yeah.
Don't you think that before God, His plan, His pattern in that book has been every time before He drops the hammer. I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Glory to the Lamb of God. A week from this Saturday, we're calling a morning of ministry to the Lord. 7 to 12. I like to see this place fill up with folks that will come and bring your Bibles, nothing else. Just bring your Bibles. You can bring your notepad. God talks to you, you might want to write it down. I do that. Amen. Leave your cell phone in your car. Amen. Leave your cell phone in your car. Come on in here. 5 hours, the world ain't going to shut down without you for 5 hours. And you get in here and get before God. And I'm going to tell you, one of our first prayers are going to be, God, we need a miracle in our nation. We need your hand. I don't know, church. I know judgment's on the horizon. But I don't know how God's going to bring that. And I don't know how. I've went to God in prayer and I've been asking God, Lord, direct me how to pray. If, Lord, it's endless and or it's hopeless and judgment has come, then I'm not going to try to pray. I'm going to pray, Lord, go ahead and let Hillary come on. If that's what we deserve and that's where we're at. But is there enough people across this land that's got enough gumption to say, I'm going to pray? Oh, Brother Woods, we don't have the numbers. God, he never needed numbers. He just needed obedient hearts. I'm telling you, the world was turned upside down, not by millions, but a handful of men and women in an upper room in Jerusalem. Glory to God. And they went out and turned the world upside down. Nations have been changed. Wars have been averted. The courses of the land have been turned around because somebody got before God and cried out until something happened. One man by the name of Elijah turned the course of events in the entire nation of Israel.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are weak and anemic and full of doubts and fears. And when you resort to pragmatism, you are full of unbelief. I don't know what works. I want to know what's right. I don't know what I think is best. I want to know what God says I need to do.
Right.
Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you what I feel. I don't know what God's talking to you. I'm telling you, but I still get a sense in my being that I need to pray. I believe this. This is Dan Woods. This is me. But I believe yet right now in this moment that a test is before us to see if God's people have got enough gumption to cry out to him. I don't know what the other churches are going to do. I don't know what the other peoples are going to do. But if God's got a handful of people, Brother John, that'll recognize his power and cry out, I'm telling you what, he didn't start when Pentecost came to this nation. It didn't come in some sense and overwhelm the big cities here and there. You're going to find out that they always start out a lot of times with a few people over here and a few folks that God touches. And all of a sudden that thing will mushroom and it'll spread out and God will get a hold of hearts. I'm telling you, we could be the epicenter of a revival. We could be the epicenter of a revival. God can bring an earthquake from right here in Washington, North Carolina. Oh, that's too much. We can't ask it. I serve a big God, and it's time we start recognizing that he's got an almighty hand. Well, Brother Woods, what are you going to do if you pray and it doesn't happen? Then I will not turn from God. I'll go back and pray again, and I'll say, God, help me. If my faith has failed you, spank me and teach me what I need to do.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory to God. You got nothing to pray about. Your eyes are closed and you're blind. Glory to God.
Yes.
I feel his glory. I feel his glory tonight, church. Glory to the Lamb of God. We look around us and all we can see is death. All we can see are a valley of dry bones. And our problem is all we want to do is study the bones and talk about what disarray it is. And nobody will find the heart of God to know there's a God in heaven that is hurting, There's a God in heaven that's aching for you to come and talk to him about your children. There's a God in heaven that's aching for you to come and get on his side and do it his way and let him do it. If you'll be a vessel, don't tell me what can happen right here. I'm telling you, there can be a message come from this pulpit. There can be a fire, a Holy Ghost fire that starts right here in this church. 200 and some CDs that go out every month. There could be a message that hits 200 and some households. Glory to the Lamb of God. That starts a fire. And how many churches are connected to those? And that one person gets lit up in prayer and they go to the house of God and their church gets lit up. Don't tell me God can't do it. The days of his power are not over. Well, Brother Woods is coming, then let him come. But when he comes, let me find me in the closet of intercession. Let him not find me dueling around playing games of the world. Let him not find me endorsing wicked men and falling prey to pragmatism. Let him find me full of faith and full of life, glory to the Lamb of God. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Pray. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You can't pray because you have taken God out of your life.
Come on.
And you have relegated him to the church house.
Yeah.
And the only time you pray and can talk to him of any manner is when you're there. But you've divorced your daily life from him. You've divorced your world from him. You've divorced your family from him. And you've taken his hand out and you have put God on a back burner.
Yes.
Who has made him weak and anemic and incapable of turning the tide.
Right.
You tell me what prayer can do? Prayer can shut the heavens up for 3.5 years.
Amen.
Tell me what prayer can do? It can make a way across the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. Tell me what prayer can do? It can put manna in a desert where there's nothing.
Right. Come on, brother.
Tell me what prayer can do?
Yeah.
It can bring the dead back to life. Tell me what prayer can do? It can make the sick well. I read today, I don't know what there is to it, but the diseases are coming so rapid. The bacteria is growing. That they tell us soon our antibiotics are going to be of no value.
Right.
They are not going to be able to fight it off. And our medical world as we know it is going to be turned upside down. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I don't know. Maybe God could stay his hand of judgment 3 or 4 years and give us a few more years, John, to get in the Rift Valley to have a revival across this nation. Glory to God. To help us reach out and touch some churches that are dying in Mexico. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, to help us reach out and maybe see your children come to God, and to see some of your loved ones that are in there and think they got everything together, to see them come to see a truth about God. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a demonstration that the long suffering of God is salvation? The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. And I will pray and I will praise his name. I'm telling you, church, get a life, look around you, and get God in your world, and you'll have everything to talk about.
Right.
God help us.
Yes, amen.
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 Stand to your feet tonight.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Personally, I'm overwhelmed. And I have to ask God to help me on what to pray about. Because I honestly don't have time to bring everything to prayer. But if you'll quit asking everybody else to pray for you and start doing some yourself,
right, brother, go ahead.
You'll relieve some of the burdens of those that are carrying a heavier load.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Oh yeah.
If you'll dig in and start seeing a revival in your own house, in your own home, you'll be a contributor instead of a drainer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That may be a little tough. I don't mean it to be tough, but it's just where it's at.
Yes.
I ain't here to preach on everything that's out there, but tell us where we got to go, what we got to do. And if you're not careful, we'll get caught up in that mess. Mm-hmm. And we need to be jerked back to where we need to be and say, hey, wait a minute. God, give me the right petition. God, give me the right petition. How many tonight will be honest with me? Brother Woods, I'm going to get on board. I'm going to pray with you. If two or three on earth agree is touching any one thing, if they shall ask, it shall be done unto them.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God. How many will get behind? I've been praying for Ted Cruz. I don't mind saying it. I don't care.
Amen.
I've been praying for him. I've been asking God to give him wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm asking God to shut Trump down.
Yeah.
I'm asking God to expose him for what he is.
Yeah.
And the preachers that endorse him, expose them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Expose them. Wake them up.
Right.
Let them go back on Fox News and repent.
Yeah.
And tell how they messed up. That'd be a wonderful thing.
Right.
I'd be inclined to call them up and tell them congratulations. Thanks be to God. And I'm here to tell you something right now. That there is hope. There's always a hope where there's a God.
Right.
We may reach a time when we're Jeremiah and God's going to let the hand fall and he's going to let the enemy overrun our land and take us in. But until that happens, I'm going to cry out to God.
Right.
And I've been telling God, I believe, Lord, we got a man. Could we not, Lord, have an opportunity to see a man get in there, Lord, who can do some good and some value. Lord, it may not turn the mess around, but it could give us a span of time. We could get a space of grace, glory to the Lamb of God. And Lord, that it can do something to shut the tired of homosexuality and this message coming across our nation, and maybe wake a few people up that have been deceived, and maybe somehow some folks can get a hold of God and Jesus can come and take us home, and that last one that he's looking to come in will come into the fold.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Glory.
I would like for this generation, my children, and their age, that are walking around deceived in darkness, doped and drugged and bound by a godless culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like them to see real power.
Right. Yeah. Amen. That's the truth.
Whew.
Oh, yes.
That can touch their diseased body where no laboratory can ever go.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Where no doctor's needle can ever redeem. And watch a healing miracle. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.
I'd like them to get a little taste of real freedom.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I'd like them to see a God whose presence is more glorious than the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Hallelujah. Whose presence is more glorious than any kind of pleasure that this world can offer them, than any casino, any strip joint, any drug induced high, that they could get a taste of a God whose presence is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm telling you that there's a liberty, and they can find again a modesty and an integrity, and they can learn the truth of God before God drops the hammer of judgment. I'd like his glory to shine one more time. I'd like his anointing to fall one more time. I'd like to be a part of seeing a world, whether they achieve it or not, but at least they had an opportunity to come to God.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The bulk of Jerusalem still denied him. But he gave him an opportunity.
Yes, he did.
To repent.
Right.
And he showed him his glory. And though the city went under, out of the city came a remnant.
Yes.
According to the election of grace. And they took the gospel to a lost and dying world. Would you lift your hand right now and say, God, help me to get you back in my life like I need to be. To recognize you in my life and my need for you in every aspect of my being and activity. Please, God, help us to get a people who, Lord, can talk to you about everything. Who will, Lord, get involved with your work and what you're doing. Who will, Lord, get away from their personal dilemmas and put it in a hand and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. God, wake up a praying people in this church. Wake up a congregation and don't get on their knees and bombard heaven until heaven comes down and glory fills our soul. Let a spirit of prayer settle upon us until we can, Lord, identify with your course, with your purpose, with your objective, and we can get a hold of you and say, see a work done in this nation. Help us not to compromise. Help us not to endorse sin or wicked men. Woo. Let us not, Lord, think because we can't see an answer that all is lost. Because we don't see how it can work out that all is lost. Oh, Lord. I don't know that Daniel had any idea how you would deliver him from the lion's den. But he knew you would deliver him. Oh, God. I don't know how you might deliver the nation. I don't know what you might do if you should decide to tarry. I just know, Lord, that I got to pray and ask you, Lord, to help us. Because the church needs revival. The church needs revival. The church needs revival, oh God. Maramam ropa parroco chotto tamaya. Glory to the Lamb of God.